Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you honor today. You're the one that brings revelation. You're the one that brings power to live. You place that power right inside of us, in a person that lives out through us. We want to receive more. We want to have more communication. We want an ongoing conversation. How about that? Not just today, but the rest of your life. And you'll remember this message like you remembered the message 2 weeks ago. What was that about? What? I heard something. The seventh sense. How many were here for that message? Okay, wait, let me write them down. It's going to have something to do with this message. Because we said in that message, the seventh sense is presence. You must be in the presence of God to view everything, to have everything interpreted correctly. You must have the Holy Spirit wrapped around your spirit, and then you start interpreting things from heaven, like heaven, from heaven, about heaven, properly. You start letting heaven actually come into your circumstances, into your situations, into your problems. It's not just you, your feelings, your thoughts, your logic, me, my logic, thoughts, feelings, but it's Holy Spirit empowering something new and giving new revelation. And it's wrapped around your spirit. Your spirit rises up and says to the soulish realm, excuse me, I'm taking over. And when the Holy Spirit wrapped around our spirit rises up and takes over, we have some amazing revelations that come. Some amazing miracles, signs, wonders actually happen. We don't have to just talk about them. And they happen right in our own personal lives. And we say, wow, that was God. That was God. Rather than, well, I think I figured it out and it turned out okay. We're going to be okay on the finances. We'll get by. We'll make it somehow. I think I figured a strategy, some kind of thing I figured out that it'll work. We'll get by this month and next month. But rather, with Holy Spirit, it can be totally different, a totally different solution, something we would have never thought of. God's arm, his righteous right arm, comes in and does something we wouldn't have imagined or dreamed would happen. It didn't fit the logic of the mind. It didn't fit even our greatest, emotions at their best. It was much higher than that. And that's the type of thing we keep calling you to. And while we're calling you, we're calling us to that higher, spirit-led, presence-oriented life where the Holy Spirit wraps around your spirit, rises up, and says, okay, I'm ruling over the soul. I'm ruling over the body. That's how healings happen. That's how we get healed up on the inside of our emotional pain. Whatever it happens to be, the seventh sense comes in and interprets everything properly from all the other senses, everything in our soul, everything in our body, all the signals of our body. I don't know about you, but in my body, I've had pains that weren't real. Maybe you didn't know that, but there are pains that are not real. They're spiritually oriented, they're a spiritual attack. They don't really exist. You feel it. But only by the Spirit could we determine that. This is a spiritual attack. It's not a bodily pain, it's a spiritual attack that brings a bodily response. There can be some differences. Bodily pain, we know about that. Every one of us has had something that hurt in our bodies. But the enemy would love to deceive us into thinking there are more pains than there are, and they're greater than they are, so that we don't go to the Spirit and say, solve this in Jesus' name. Let my spirit wrap around your spirit, rise up, and my body will have to line up with heaven. And suddenly, heaven rules, and there's no sickness in heaven. And my body goes, oh, by the way, that wasn't me. It was some kind of an attack. And that's why it disappeared so quickly. Or it moved. You ever had a pain that moved? First it was here, and then, you know, maybe even someone's praying for you and it goes up here. Or you've prayed for someone and that's happened. You're praying for a pain. My wrist hurts. Now my elbow hurts. Now my shoulder hurts. We've had experiences like that. That's not the body. That's a spiritual attack. So how do we figure all that out? I'm suggesting the seventh sense. We have to be in the presence. We have to be with Holy Spirit, inviting him to wrap himself around our spirit, to interpret all the information that comes in from our senses and our soul. We don't want our soul interpreting things. Unless our mind is completely captive to Christ, our emotions are in self-control because of the Holy Spirit, and our body has lined up with heaven, then we'll consider what they have to say. Because they're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. They're being moved by the Holy Spirit working in our spirit. That was what that whole thing was about. Maybe it helped to say it again. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. But be thinking about that before God. Am I allowing my spirit to rise up so much that my soul has to bow and submit to what the spirit is hearing? Years ago, I was soaking and I had this picture of, some of you have heard this, but it'll refresh your memory. I had this picture of, I was in a complete ballet outfit, and Pastor Mary Pat as well. And we were on this great big stage, and suddenly I just lifted her up, phew, with one hand. And that wasn't too bad. I had her up there, you know, she had her little tutu on, and I had my tights. And well, anyway, I had her up there, and I was holding her up there, and that was fine. But then she started doing gyrations and ballet moves, spinning around on my hand. And I'm starting to, you know, feel the pressure and thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. And suddenly it came to me, oh, yes, you can. You are. You are doing this. Rise up, you know, push up. Don't feel the weight. Push up. So I pushed up, and I thought, as I'm watching this in this vision or dream or whatever it was, I was soaking, it was a vision. If I was sleeping, it'd be a dream. But I'm sure it was a vision. So as I'm holding her up and she's doing all these gyrations, it suddenly comes to my spirit, you're all right. Look at it again. And I looked, and Holy Spirit was moving and wrapping around our bodies and inside of us and out and completely weaving in that situation. And I was easily able to hold her up, and I was encouraged. Because Holy Spirit was there to empower me. I wasn't doing this on my own. There was no way, let me say it again, there was no way to keep up with this wild woman in the Spirit. But because of Holy Spirit, I was able to do that. Now that's been an encouragement to me for a long time, that particular little vision. But the other thing that it says to all of us is this. We can't do this without his power. We can't do this without being in the seventh sense and allowing our spirits to rise up and be wrapped around completely by Holy Spirit and empowered to do the impossible. This thing we're involved with here is impossible. Absolutely impossible. Why not just have regular church? You know, invite people in. have a nice little message of love, send you home, don't bother you too much during the week. Have three songs and you're out, or maybe four. And we might go over the verses a couple of times. Why not just do that? Why are we trying to do this impossible, crazy thing where during the summer we have a few folks in the pews and we're sending people out to other nations? Why not just forget that? Let's keep some more people in the pews. I guess they're seats now. Pews are gone. Note to self. Pews are gone. Seats are here. Why not just keep everybody here? And let's not send them out to all these places we send them out to during the week either. They might get discouraged. They might not come back. Or they might give up. It's too much. Too much. Too much. Too many campuses. Too many people that we try to reach during the week. Let's just calm it down. But we can't. Our calling is to do something unusual, something unique. And you know you can get used to that. You can get used to hearing, there's more, there's more, there's more. You can kind of hear it and go, oh, I've heard that before. I'm good. I think I got enough of the more. Good, good here. One of the things that breaks that and helps us all is something the Bible calls a book of remembrance. Now, this is out of Malachi. Yeah, I have the original right here. It's in the original Hebrew language from Malachi. And it has contained all the goodness of God, all his righteous acts towards us, his miracles. The things he's done for each of us are in this book of remembrance. Every sign and wonder is written down in here. Everything he did for the Israelites, right in here. Everything he's done in your life up to this point, it's in this book. You know, God likes books. He has a library. Here are some of the titles in his library. He has the Book of Life. That's one you want to be in. Revelation. You want to be in that book. You want your name written in that book. William Harry Gokey. Less hairy than I used to be, but still hairy. Written down in that book. But you know, I think we have the wrong idea about that book. It's just a list of names because we see all the genealogies in the Old Testament. And we think, oh, that book's just got, names. As long as your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's a good thing. You've received Jesus. You're in that book. It's not going to be erased. You're going to follow through and all the stuff. But I think there's more in that book. I think it's also written in there every miraculous thing God has accomplished through you. And every miraculous thing that God has done is in his book of remembrance. So the book of life has your name in it and everything God has been able to do in the earth using you. Using you. He writes in there proudly like a happy papa with a great big refrigerator. He puts your picture up there and says, she did this week. She reached out to that coworker and said, is there anything I can do for you today? Is there anything I can pray for you today? You seem to have that elbow in a sling. I believe in prayer. I believe God heals today. Or just say, can I pray for you? And when that happens, your papa's up there going, it's my girl. Right beside your name. Has to use a whole page for you. Maybe two pages. And he just keeps writing all the things he's been able to through Holy Spirit, because you're hearing clearly in the seventh sense. Go ahead, pray for them. Oh, but Lord, and we might have our list. They might think I'm weird. This isn't the right time. It's 5 minutes before the end of lunch. This isn't the right place. It's not church. I'm not the right person. Get somebody that can actually help them get a healing. Or whatever. But Holy Spirit says again, go ahead, pray for them. The ongoing conversation where he comes in the seventh sense and says, it's you. It's you. You're the one this time. And when you step out into those, when I step out into those nudges, those little indications from Holy Spirit, you're going to do a miracle today. You're going to be part of a supernatural event today. I'm going to use you. When that is accomplished, maybe the person doesn't receive anything from it. You stepped out, you don't see any visible thing from it. But you know what? Your Father is up there writing it in the book. He's saying, they listen to Holy Spirit. You see, when he says go, and he says unto the nations, this is one of the nations. When he says go, he means start in Jerusalem. Right where you live. And many of you are doing that. We could have you list the things God has done through your life. Now, some of you would be a wonderful experience because, oh, I forgot that. Oh, I forgot he used me that way. Oh, that seems so simple. Did he write that down? You betcha he did. That little thing that turned around, that person had a headache and now they don't. He wrote it down in the book of life, I believe. Not just your name, but he wrote down these wonderful things where you cooperated with his Holy Spirit. And you went. You actually did the go. You went out to the person right beside you, right in front of you. You stopped for the one. And you were used in a mighty way. And if you're like me, you could raise your hand and say, I've missed a lot of those opportunities. I haven't always stepped in when Holy Spirit was indicating I should. I wasn't always reaching out with my hand to heal when I saw a person in need. I wasn't always involving myself in a conversation. I did take the excuse. I did follow my feelings of I'll feel weird, or they'll feel weird, or we'll both feel weird. But you see, we have people right before us of Jesus who did everything. Was it convenient for him to talk to the woman at the well? Not especially. He wasn't in his area. It was a woman. He was going to get criticized. She wasn't just a woman. She was a woman with a sordid past. He didn't care. He was his Father's business. He was doing what the Father nudged him to do in every case. And look at the people, the vast variety of people that he touched their lives individually and as groups, but so many individuals. What's the Lord trying to say to us? There's your miracles. You are miracle missionaries. He can't wait for you to be on assignment for him. In those things, in the book of remembrance, where God has stepped in and done a miraculous thing for you, sometimes he did it sovereignly. He did it by himself. He just stepped in and met the need. Nobody prayed for you. You prayed to God. You were healed. God sent you the answer of healing. He loved it. He enjoyed it. You enjoyed it. You knew it was right from his hand. You didn't even tell anybody else. And you were healed. God does it directly. Sometimes he uses messengers, angels. They deliver a little surprise from the Lord or an answer from the Lord. But often he has used other miracle missionaries to touch your life. He's used many people in your life to bring about miracles, some type of turnaround, some type of breakthrough. It was a person. They prayed for you. They came alongside you. They bore your burden with you. They showed mercy. They used their gifts from the Holy Spirit to minister to you. They were miracle missionaries, and you received a miracle, and you can now say, that person was involved. They helped me out. They came and prayed for me. They came over to my house. We went out for lunch. And this happened afterwards. I got a job. They prayed for me to get a job. I got a job. They were involved. They were partnering with God. So let's see. Jesus did it right all the time, partnering with God and helped so many people out. He was a miracle missionary, as well as being the Son of God, the Son of Man, and all the various titles and names that he has. He listened to the Father. The Father's heart was to do work in the earth. And the Father didn't always move sovereignly. He used Jesus when he was a man to do his will on the earth. I'm here to do my Father's business. I listen, the Father tells me what to do, and I do it. And people in your life have done the same for you. They've come in, they've prayed for you. Miracles happen, turnarounds, breakthroughs, amazing things, and some are on the way. Some receive prayer today that your miracle is, you know, on the way. And someone was involved in that prayer for you. They were a miracle missionary to you today. So, what did Jesus do? He said, go. He already told us to go. We are very familiar with the passages. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Boy, that's an awfully high mission. But that's what he told us to do. Go. And he expects that we would go out of obedience, for one thing. In Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Many of you have heard that call and responded in one way or another. You went to another person that you know, a relative, a friend, a coworker, someone in school. You ministered to them in the name of the Lord. You were a miracle missionary. Some of you have gone to other nations and done the same thing. You've listened out of obedience. But there is something much higher than just listening to God and obeying out of obedience to go to those co-workers, people in school, friends and family, and strangers. Going downtown at First Friday, some of us do it out of obedience. He told me to go. Here's an opportunity. There's a team. I'm joining a team. It's not just me by myself. I'm joining a team, and we're going down there, and we're expecting God to do some things. And that's one level of our response out of love to the Lord. We fall in love with him and we desire to obey him. But there's something even higher, greater, more than that. And it takes Holy Spirit in every way. Do you know that you can go down to First Friday in your own strength? You could go down there and use your own skills. I'm pretty good with people, talking to people, so I'll just start talking to people. And, you know, people are relatively friendly in that atmosphere, and they talk with you back. And you could be doing it out of kind of your own strength. Others go down, and they're doing it, they know, when they're down there, I need Holy Spirit every minute to even think about drawing something prophetically for them. Or praying for someone for healing. I remember being on a plane and there was a young man next to me and he was obviously a little nervous. And I thought, okay. He's on the inside, I'm on the outside. And that means God wants me to say something to him. I can just tell. He's by the window, he's looking out the window nervously. It comes to me, maybe this is his first flight. Sure enough, I ask him, you know, how you doing tonight? Oh, I'm so, I've got a headache. I'm kind of nervous. So, well, what's happening? It's my first flight. He came out with it. It's my first flight, and I've never taken a flight before. It's my first flight. And he's talking very fast. He's very animated. And I thought, you know, how can I solve somebody's fear of flight? I can't. So I quickly said to the Holy Spirit, do something here. So I said, could I pray for you? Sure, yeah. You sure can. I was looking for an angel. So I put my hand on him, or at least put my hand out to him, and I prayed for him. And I said, so, how are you feeling? My headache's gone. I was like, that's good. He says, yeah, it is. And he says, I think I'm a little calmer. And by that time, the plane is starting to taxi. And I thought, well, I should talk to him. So I kept talking with him. And we're talking about, you know, flight can be a lot of fun. It actually is. You know, I've been on many flights around the world, and actually, it can be kind of fun. I'm kind of praying under my breath for him and so on. And before long, we were in the air, and he was looking out. If I remember, we flew out of Chicago. So he was looking out at the lights of Chicago. He's starting to enjoy the flight. And I'm thinking, only Holy Spirit could go that deep inside of him in that brief amount of time. Number one, heal him. Number two, calm him with a peace that I was involved in partnering with God to pray over him. What a joy to help somebody with that. I mean, this has happened to you. If you think there's not been a time, there has been, that you've been used by God to bring some type of a miracle for somebody. And you know what was happening in heaven? He was written down in the book of life. That's my boy. Billy doesn't just listen to his mother. He listens to me in that instance. And he wrote it down. When I get up there, maybe I'll get a chance to read and I'll remember the guy's name from reading the account. And he has the ones for you where you were a miracle missionary. But it starts with remembering that God has already done so many good things for you and sent you missionaries to minister to your life. And some of you should invite more. Let us know when there's something that needs healed in your body. Let someone know beside you that you have a struggle or a difficulty. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to lift each other up and care for one another. And many of you do. But there's always more. We can be more open with people. Now, you don't have to share every last thing in your life. Some of you have a special friend that you'll share certain things with. Some of you have a spouse that you'll share certain things with. But there are those in the body that can be medical missionaries, so to speak, miracle missionaries for you today. Or you could be used as a miracle missionary for someone else, letting your eyes through Holy Spirit's seventh sense be opened to all the needs that are out there in people. And you can be part of the solution. And it's reaching your destiny. You know, when's my destiny going to come? That front line, they keep telling me, there's a destiny for you that God has. And you can reach it. And you think it's out somewhere. Actually, the fulfillment of your destiny is every one of these things that happen along the way. Where you're stepping out, taking a risk to be on a missionary assignment for God. A miracle-producing person partnering with God. How many are hearing what I'm saying? I know it's a little sleepy time here because of the heat. But this is really important for your life, important for my life, on a moment-by-moment basis. We used to say, you know, to be a servant of God, to have 3 feet in front of you, anything that you move that 3 feet into, minister to that need, whatever it is. If you see a piece of paper on the floor and it's within your 3 feet, pick it up. Don't just walk by and go, I guess the janitor will get that. You know, something needs done within your 3 feet sphere. Do it. And then expand it, right? Put your tent pegs out there farther and farther. The people you can see as you move around in a room. Every one of them could have something going on in their life that you could be the missionary sent to them. And some of it happens in here. And as you step out in here and do those kinds of things with people in here, you'll find you'll do it in the grocery store. You'll do it in line at the airport. You'll do it at Walmart. You'll go to school and be sitting beside a person in the classroom. And suddenly you'll know their need by the prophetic, and you speak it out, and they're amazed. I was reading a book this week, and the guy went to speak at a men's group, about 80 men, and he's ready to start his presentation. But before he got there, the Holy Spirit told him, this is going to be an unusual night. It's not going to be your normal teaching night. So he said to the guy leading it, hey, If you know, something breaks out here, is there a signal that, you know, we can have between each other? You know, could you pull on your ear if I've gone past the time, and maybe I'll, you know, try to do something? You know, is there some signal that we can come up with? And the guy said, no, let's stick to the 30 minutes. Okay, well, I mean, I'm just saying, if anything broke out in Holy Spirit, could we have kind of a signal? No, stick to the 30 minutes. So he gets up to minister, and suddenly this one man is highlighted in the audience. He can't get away from it. He's preaching along, sharing along, helping all these men out, but this one guy is catching his attention. So he walks down from the stage, and he stands in front of the one guy, and he says, Holy Spirit just is highlighting you to me. Can you please tell me what's going on in your life? Because there's something going on in your life. And the guy goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So he goes back up, and he thought, okay, Lord, you know, you highlighted him. He doesn't want anything. So he started on with his presentation again, and the guy is highlighted to him again. And, you know, these men are now looking at him a little strange. Like, you already went out there and talked to somebody, and don't do it with me. And, you know, they're all, he can see them. There's a little tenseness in the crowd. But he can't get away from it. The guy is highlighted again. So he actually comes out, gets a chair, and pulls it up in front of the guy. Now, I know some of you know who this sounds like, but it's not a man. Okay, anyway, so sit in front of the guy and starts saying, okay, jigs up. You aren't telling the truth. Whoa. That's a risk, isn't it? Not just for this guy, but for the whole meeting, for everything. But he felt so strongly in Holy Spirit, he would say that. You're not telling the truth. You need to share what's going on. The guy said, how'd you know? How did you know? I was going to quit the ministry tonight. I called my wife already. I was quitting it after this meeting. I was a businessman. We started ministering. We had this zeal. We had this, let's go get everyone. Let's be a missionary, you know, to every person that we run into. But the bills came. And we paid out all our savings. We paid out all my retirement. We maxed out our credit cards. And we're $16,000 in debt beyond that. I'm quitting. This is, you know, something's not working here. So the guy, through Holy Spirit, says to him, so how did you start ministering? Why did you leave the business world and become a person that ministers full time? He said, well, God called me. No doubt about it. He called my wife and myself. He said, so tonight you're leaving the ministry. Is God calling you out? He says, no. Quitting. Didn't you just hear me go through all these financial things? It's obvious. So I'm quitting. So he says again, but did God tell you to quit, to leave what you're doing? No, he didn't. So the guy gets emotional. Other men crowd around. The meeting has changed. The guy, you know, that was in charge, he didn't even look at him. The meeting has changed. This guy is being ministered to. Men coming in and so on. And then from the side, he hears from the guy in charge, we need to do something for this guy. This isn't enough. I'm going to give $1,000 towards this $16,000. Who's going to join me? Or something like that. He says, and you're the speaker. You should do something. So the men surrounding him, including the speaker himself, and the guy that offered the first $1,000, $16,000 in debt was wiped out in one meeting. All because somebody was in a conversation with Holy Spirit and heard this incredible thing. So after that guy's ministered to, two more miracle situations happened with two more men in that meeting. And the guy in charge never did say anything about the 30 minutes. So there are appointments that you have. I want to remind you, you've all heard of divine appointments. You have them. They're already set up. In God's heart, he has already laid them out before you. He knows who you're going to bump into in the next hour, the next 2 hours, or whatever. He knows and has set it up for you to be a missionary of miracle to them. And you can accept that go command that he gives and be obedient and go to them out of love for Jesus, hopefully not just out of saluting God, but out of love for Jesus. But as I said, there's one higher thing. In Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and two he covered his face. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet, and with two he fled. Excuse me, he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand, keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes that they may see their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and return and be healed." Isaiah saw heaven, all that was happening in heaven, the Father wanting to touch the earth with what was going on in heaven. He's in the throne room. The angel comes to him and says, "Your iniquity's gone." In being in the presence of God, he is so empowered, so lifted up, so encouraged that he says, when the call comes, "Who should we send out?" He volunteers. And he doesn't just say, "Oh, me, me. Here am I, send me." In the Hebrew, it's imperative, which means he commanded God to send him. He said to God, "Send me." God says to us, "Go." We need to say back to God, "Send me. Send me. Send me, God. I'm the one. I'm volunteering. I'm giving myself. I'm presenting myself to you." Out of joy, after being in your presence in fullness of joy, "I want to go." Does he know where he's going? No. He doesn't know what the appointments are going to look like. He doesn't know what the ministry is going to look like. He finds out about some of it. They're dull of hearing. They can't see past their nose. But he volunteered before he knew how God was going to use him. He presented himself. And that's the second action. We can obey and go because God says go. But one of the reasons why we may not be as attuned to some of the people that come right in our path is because we have not said back to God, "Send me. I want you to send me. I'm ready to be your volunteer." Not just go out of obedience, but go out of desire. And only Holy Spirit can give me the power within me, the desire within me to keep that fire burning, to go after people right in front of me, to stop for the one, to care for the hurting, to reach out for those that are in prison, any kind of prison. If we could stand. We've already said that you have been blessed by God in so many ways that you have a book of remembrance of all the things he's done for you. In fact, we're going to pass out a sheet at the end. I would like you to remind yourself of some of those things, your own personal book of remembrance, so that you can put it in your Bible. Or put it somewhere where you'll be reminded of some of the things God has done. Some of you will have 2 pages just over the last month of all that God has done miraculous in your life. And attach a name to some of those things where someone has prayed for you and that's happened. Someone in this body, someone outside this body, someone Christian, they prayed for you or they entered in some way, gave money or however they were used. And put it in your own personal book of remembrance. Because what it's going to say is, God sent missionaries of mercy, of ministry to you. Ministry of miracles to you. Miracles, signs, and wonders. He sent them to you. They've ministered breakthrough to you, partnering with the Almighty God. And you can do that more and more and more. As you're aware of God's presence, and he gives you that nudge, he gives you that prophetic thing in your spirit to say to someone, you've been going through a divorce, haven't you? And the person is absolutely amazed. And it opens up a door of ministry to them that wouldn't open up if you said, let me share with you the 4 spiritual laws. The bridge of life. What do you think? And they go, I don't know about that stuff. But if they hear God speaking directly to them through you as the mouthpiece, you're going to be involved in a miracle in their life. We've got to start saying, these things are miracles. God is producing these things, and he's looking for volunteers. You have volunteered in a general sense. You wouldn't be here at Frontline if you hadn't volunteered in a general sense. If you hadn't decided to take God's call to go, you probably wouldn't choose this place, because we actually do. We go. But now, you can take the further step. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it needs to be renewed. Or maybe you did it this last week. Where you say, here I am. All I am, and it's not much, God, but here I am. And I'm going to let my spirit wrap around your spirit, Holy Spirit, and let you point out the miracle opportunities that I can be involved with this week. And next week. And throughout my life. And in the book of life, you're going to write all those things down right beside my name. He was one that was willing to partner with me. He was one, she was one, that said, send me, just like Isaiah. And I fulfilled everything I wanted to do through their life in touching people on the earth. See, God wants to use us to produce eternity on the earth. Heaven on earth. He wants eternal things, eternal plans done on the earth using our lives, partnering with us. Well, he doesn't really want to partner with me. If you knew me, God can't use none of that. The angel came and said, we burned all that out. And you have Holy Spirit, Jesus your Savior, Holy Spirit, and a Father that loves you. You're dynamite. You're dynamite because of that. Ready to explode on a hurting world. And he says, so Isaiah says, send me. So we're just going to pray that those who want to enter into this, you say to the Lord in your own quiet little circle before him, here I am, God, send me. Just take a moment to spend time with Holy Spirit. He's waiting to hear that you're a volunteer, a son or daughter in the family and in the kingdom, willing to volunteer for that very next miracle opportunity for someone else, for that very next need that you're not going to have the answer for unless you depend on Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we know you're so good and gracious to us and bring so many gifts. And we talk about those gifts often. But Father, so many of those things in our life, you have partnered with a miracle missionary, someone that was a carrier, someone that was a delivery person for what you wanted to bring as a miracle in our lives. We appreciate that, God, and we write it down in the book of remembrance. You were behind it, but you used a human agent. Now, God, I want to be that human agent more and more and more. Thank you for getting through to me before and using me to pray for someone, to give to someone, to minister to someone, to counsel someone, God, when it was way over my head. It was a miracle that you used me. But God, I am volunteering today, presenting myself before you. Here I am. Send me, God, to the hurting, to the lost, to those that are friendless, alone, those that need healing, those that need healing in their emotions, those that need a lifting off their shoulders, God. Here I am. Send me, here I am, send me to those people you put in my path, to those people that you initiate in my heart that I go to. I offer myself, I present myself before you as your miracle missionary, as your signs and wonders person, Lord. I want to be walking in supernatural ministry to the person right in front of me, to those that you lay on my heart as a call. Just take a few minutes and present yourself. You, Lord. You're good, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Father, I pray that there be no condemnation in this, because you can redeem the time. Lost opportunities. You may have sent some other willing miracle missionary to meet that need. We start fresh today, God. We know we need Holy Spirit to remind us of the things that Jesus taught us. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to do that. Remind us that we presented ourselves before you to be used. When the going gets tough, when the decision has to be made, when we could make excuses, God, we're asking Holy Spirit would remind us we presented ourselves to be used in any situation of your choosing. We're not going to put a limit on it. We're not going to put a fence around it. Use us, God, in any way. We're trusting you to remind us as Jesus said you would. Give you praise. We honor your name today, Lord. We know you're good and you're worthy of partnering with in every way. We thank you, God, for wanting to use us. We submit ourselves to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.